Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, a statement I've heard you say on occasion is that preparing a sermon for human approval is not the same as preparing a sermon for God's approval. Can you expand a bit more on this subject?
I'd prefer just to leave it where it is because it sounds very spiritual. And trying to explain it is difficult, okay? So you want to just leave it there? Or are you going to push me?
Well, I think I'm going to have to push you because, after all, we are recording a podcast and our listeners will want to know what's behind that statement that you've made.
Okay, there are certain questions I ask myself, and sometimes I feel I answer them well, and other times I don't. For example, coming out here, you graciously, on behalf of your congregation of which you're a part, you said, would I preach on Sunday morning? And I said that I would like to do that. I know your congregation relatively well, so I'm not coming in and just going to preach old number 7 that I preached 1,000 times, you know. But I would say that my first question is in prayer. I'm saying, Lord, what is it that you would like said that maybe I would have a perspective on that I could bring? I don't have an opportunity to dialogue with the people because I'm in Chicago and you're here in Pennsylvania. So can you give me some insight as to what you would say were you to preach? That's all in my sanctified imagination. But I'm not saying, okay, what do I do well? What's old number 5 that seemed to work well with people in Pennsylvania before? You know, I'm trying to, in a sense, get into the mind of, I represent Jesus. They would love it if they heard word that Jesus was coming and there's a conflict of dates. Would I be willing to give up my time and have Jesus do it? But that's not going to happen. So I have to be the substitute for that Sunday, and I'm bringing the word of the Lord. Okay, so I don't know what that word is without going to prayer and saying, Jesus, I need help. So there's that sense at the beginning of it all. Lord, what is it that I think you would say were you here? I'm struggling, Lord, because I don't think I can do this on my own. That's that at least initial thought that's going to come. I find it easier to do with a congregation. If it's the home congregation where I'm a part of it, then it's much easier than if it's your congregation in another state. And it's very difficult if I'm asked to go to a place where I don't know the people at all. It's more delightful to me if I have some kind of a way I can get this sense of what is it Jesus once said. So in the case with your situation, if I can go to that, Dean, your congregation is an older congregation, and I felt that one of the things that has to happen here is that you're going to have to get that younger generation to come, or otherwise it's just a period of time and the congregation will die out. Now, why would I know that? Because I know your congregation, but it was helpful for me because I've been thinking about this a lot, and I would say that probably, I'm just guesstimating, but 3/4 of the congregation are in the same position you're in, and that millennial group is not in there, the millennial generation. So I felt like I had a message from the Lord. At that point, that's the beginning thing of how it's not just my message, okay? Something I've done for many, many years, and I'm just trying to get my mind around your question, is that when I prepared a message, I usually manuscript my messages. I don't manuscript them as a final because the last thing that I do after I put it into a manuscript, I will go through that and preach it and then say, Lord, is there anything you would like me to change about this? Over my lifetime, I found sometimes I feel the Lord, and I'm saying I feel the Lord because I've never heard the Lord speak out loud, but I feel the Lord saying to me, it's kind of got a little critical edge that I don't like. Or other times, which is even more uncomfortable, is say, you're mincing words, you ought to make it more plain exactly what you're talking about. You're liable to go over the people's heads and they don't understand that this is a prophetic word from the Lord they better pay attention to. In your case, when I came here, I had this a little bit uneasy feelings because it was a message that I didn't feel like I wanted to manuscript. I felt I wanted to leave it more spontaneous in terms of my word choice and such. I knew exactly what I wanted said, but I felt like I didn't have the authority of Scripture behind it as much as a lot of my own learning. But I preached it through, if I can say it that way, and I think I had the Lord's approval. This is a message that people need to hear. And I do that. That's just a regular thing. I get to the end. I'm not a last minute person at all. I work way ahead on things. And I thought, this is something that the Lord has in mind to be said. I'm a unique individual because I've studied a lot about millennials. I've dialogued with them. I am the person to say it, so I feel comfortable. And Lord, I think this is good, but at the same time, when I finished it all, I didn't feel like I had given Jesus the credit he was due. And even in the presentation, I saved that for the last saying. Churches may not know how to relate to millennials, but I think Jesus can. There's not a question in my mind. Here's how he'd relate. You know. So I had Jesus in there. I felt like in the presentation it wasn't as good as when I practiced it, but I did have this sense that I honored Jesus and he was the one really being talked about more than me. One other way that I do this in terms of feeling the Lord's approval is asking the question, what response am I looking for? And the response that I want is a sense of the Lord has spoken. Yes, this would build the church. This would honor Jesus. Those kind of responses are very good. The response I have to be very careful of, because I'm a human being, is Maines is really a good speaker. You know, if I am looking for that, at that point in time, I'm in danger. I don't know if other ministers have that problem. I rather suspect they do, but I think all of us are human beings. We'd like to have people say, yeah, he is really intelligent. He did that really well. You know, we need to have him back again. All those human ego things, that doesn't really benefit the kingdom. It may build my pride. And I have to always ask myself, what is it that I want to hear? I think, because I've dealt with these questions so many times in my life, I think the response that came from this message was good. The people were interacting with it. Whether they do what I say, that doesn't really matter. You know, I'm free at this point in time. I've delivered what I felt the Lord wanted me to say. The Lord helped me prepare to say. Maybe because of my ignorance, it wasn't exactly what needed to be said. Maybe they will take what I said and then change it in whatever way is appropriate. But at the end of the time, the question I want answered is, did the people see my love for the church, my love for the Lord, my love for the kingdom? Did it move forward Christ and all of what his beauty means in terms of the world? That's where my satisfaction will be. Well, go give me that sentence or your question you gave again at the beginning. You said,
you've made the statement that preparing a sermon for human approval is not the same as preparing a sermon for God's approval.
Yeah, I'm answering that in terms of, those are the processes I go through. Do I always nail it? I don't know. You know, I don't grade myself. I don't say that was like in the Olympics, that was a 10, you know. But I think I can say at the end of the experience this time coming here, Lord, I think I did as well as I could do, advancing your cause, honoring your name, given who I am this time. I found earlier in my life that I had so many times I was speaking and all that, and it was a sin. There was a lot of ego that I didn't have the privilege. In fact, I was doing a program every day, 6 days a week, and on top of that, doing 5 television programs, supposedly serving the Lord. I've confessed many times that workaholism, which was an idol to me. But now I'm to the place in my life where I have a schedule that is such. When I write something or I do something, I have opportunity to reflect, and I feel much more mature that, yes, I'm doing well what I'm doing. Maybe that's just because age is there. But when it's all finished, I have to be able to live with myself and with the Lord. And I will go home from this trip and I will say, Lord, I think you are a great master, and I think that you will say, well done, good and faithful servant, and I can leave it, and I can go on to the next assignment. So basically, that's how I would answer your question. How do you respond to that?
I have two thoughts that came into my mind as you were talking. In addition to the pastor who's preaching for the ego approval of his or her congregation, there's also a problem that arises when pastors come to the realization that the very people that they're preaching to are the people who are donating to pay their salaries. So pastors can get waylaid sometimes in seeking the approval of their congregation, particularly if there's influential members of the congregation that are significant givers. and maybe shape a sermon in a way that they're fearful of how people are going to respond to the message. That's a problem that pastors have to face. So if there's an influential member of the congregation who says to the pastor, "I really didn't like that sermon, Pastor. You spoke too strongly." So then I wonder if the pastor backs off because he or she doesn't want to offend that individual. That's one thought that came to mind, but the other thought...
Just to comment on that, everybody who's in radio has an agent. You can't get on a station without going through an agent. I had an agent who talked with me, and I respected him a lot. And he said to me, because we were struggling money-wise at a certain time, he said, "Your problem is you're preaching a message people don't want to hear, and you're always going to have trouble, so you need to change what your message is." And I asked him to be more specific. He said, "Will you continue to ding this same bell of revival all the time? You either will have to change that, or over time, you're going to run yourself out of a job." Now, he was being very gracious to me, and I'm sure that was a very difficult thing for him to say to me. I took it to heart, and basically, because of the other questions that I'm telling you I'm answering, I couldn't change that message. Now, I tried to talk about a lot of other topics so that it wasn't such that a person would turn on the chapel of the air and say, "Oh, he's going to talk about revival and all that again." That was the message that the Lord called me to preach. I look back on it now. I look at some of those messages and I think there was a prophetic word going out week after week after week. It wasn't always the Johnny One Note, which is another phrase that was used. You're a Johnny One Note. But it was a word from the Lord. It was a true prophetic word from the Lord. I don't see myself as Moses or any of that, but I can say, is this what Jesus wanted me to say? Would Jesus have said this if he came and had the broadcast I was given? There was a positive response from some people. For the most part, the general public would prefer to hear other, I would say, solve my immediate problem type programs. But I look back and I have very good feelings about those, even though I'm not on radio anymore, because I think I was saying, "I'm preaching for God's approval, not man's approval." I remember saying, in fact, my wife and I, we prayed about, should I change the message? And you have to process those things because maybe other people have insight to God that you don't have. But I didn't change the message, and it did over time. It cost me the program. But I have this great sense in my heart, not a smart aleck sense or not a cocky sense. I have this great sense that I said what God wanted me to say through that broadcast during those years. There were 20 years for which I'm grateful. So it's the same thing as, am I preparing the sermon for human approval or was I preparing it for God's approval? And I thank the Lord for that gentleman who spoke to me, to whom I was responsible because he paid the stations, but I had to pay him. That was the intermediary. So if I couldn't pay the stations, he still had to pay them. So he was a very important person in my life. Anyway, that I still was in that framework of saying, I think I will be most comfortable if I have God's approval. And if God talked out loud, you know, that would make it easier probably, but he didn't. But in terms of what he said to my heart, I felt good about.
So to really know whether or not you're preaching what God would have you say really is a sense of listening to the Holy Spirit speak to your heart.
Yeah, it is. And that how that happens practically is, of course, the struggle that all of us have. And in my mind, I would answer that by saying, "Jesus, to the best of my ability to know, this is what I think you would say. This is what I think you would have a servant of yours use my opportunity to speak forth. And if I can sense I have your approval, I will do that." You know, they say, come hell or high water, I will do it. And the truth is, a lot of the guys in Scripture, what came was both hell and high water, you know, because you know, Jeremiah, I'll keep quiet. Oh, I keep quiet. No, I can't keep quiet. I got to say it. You know, it's burning inside of me. Sometimes saying God, what you feel God wants you to say, it's a very difficult thing. Sometimes it's a very wonderful thing because you have different kind of congregations. And sometimes you're deeply affirmed and you're grateful for it, but that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is, what in my heart is God saying to me? So that's the direction that I would give to someone. It's a deep-seated conviction that is just a part of your life. And I've failed a lot of times. A lot of times when it's all done and I think I preached God's message and I thought, boy, oh boy, that was really done well. I'm pretty good, aren't I? You know, and as soon as that "I'm pretty good, aren't I" comes in there, then you're in trouble. And then your wife says something to you, you know, about, is that a dimple in your chin or is that where they blow your head up? You know, that's kind of comment that brings you back to reality real fast.
Indeed. What we're saying to pastors is preparing a sermon for human approval is not the same as preparing a sermon for God's approval. We're so glad you joined us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.